الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات صدق الله مولانا العظيم. We were explaining the sixth point of making a perfect roza, and that is after keeping the roza, and from here we should learn after every ibadat that humbleness should come into us, not pride. We shouldn't have a holier than thou attitude, we shouldn't have pride in us. With regard to all ibadat, the object of ibadat, one of the objects of ibadat is that abdiyat becomes into a person, that slavery, and that he realizes I'm a slave of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. One of the ways to do that is whenever we make niyat of that ibadat, which comes in the hadith, that the for roza, fasting, especially these words are mentioned in the hadith, iman wa ihtisaba, which means that what iman, that it's Allah's command. So we should keep that in mind. Like that, we get up for sehri, that is our niyat, that is why we got up for sehri, so that is your niyat. You come for asar namaz, you left home, while we were here in the mu'takaf, you went out to make wuzu, why are you doing all that? To make asar. Your faraz will be done. But if just before starting you put this in your mind that Ya Allah, it's your command and I'm fulfilling your command. And all other philosophical explanations also which are given, put them all aside. Solely, only it's your command and I'm fulfilling your command. When our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, so much at that time, He was encouraging me, commanding me to come spend 40 days in the Khanqah. In fact, for quite a long while before that, whichever phone I made, whenever we met, you have to come. Without 40 days, your work cannot be done. You have to come and spend your 40 days. Allah gave tawfiq. And when I went, I told Hazrat, I came, you called me, and I'm handing myself over to you. And that's all. I don't know anything else. And that 40 days just went like that. But afterwards I could make out what a great difference that 40 days made. So in that way, that every ibadat, oh Allah, it's your command, I'm fulfilling your command. I don't know anything, I just know I have to fulfill your command. Then see what the value of every ibadat, whether it's tilawat, whether it's zikr, whether it's going home, whether it's going to do shopping, whether it's going to work. Ya Allah, it's your command, I'm fulfilling your command. This will bring abdiyat. And the highest position a person can reach is abdiyat. We find that Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul of Allah. Not only a Nabi, he's the Rasul of Allah Ta'ala. But wherever Allah referred to his special favors upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah used the word abd. Like for example, Alhamdulillahi alladhi anzala ala abdihi al-kitab. The giving of the kitab, the Quran Sharif, the greatest kitab, the sifat of Allah. Allah say, I revealed it on my abd, on my slave. When Allah granted Mi'raj, that was the kitab that came down. And when Allah took Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam up, Mi'raj, a place, and it's such a closeness to Allah Ta'ala where Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam could not reach also. And here, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam's rehbar, guide on the safar journey of Mi'raj. But he came to a point, he said, I cannot go further now. If I have to go to the extent of one's hair breadth of a hair, thickness of a hair more further, I will be brought down to ashes. I can't go further. That Allah granted to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah refers to that, Subhanalladhi asra bi'abdihi. Allah granted this isra, mi'raj, to his abd. So the more a person humbles himself, Isa alayhi salatu wa sallam, when he was just born, he was still a little infant, a child doesn't speak, a baby, An infant doesn't speak in that age. But when he spoke, he said, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. I am Abdullah, the slave of Allah Ta'ala. And then Allah Ta'ala took Isa alayhi salatu wasalam in a miraculous way to the heavens, where he is living now, and he is living properly, and he will come down again as a human being, and he will be an ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that Allah raised him to the heavens, that also because the abdiyat of Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is what ibadat is supposed to bring to us, that we humble ourselves in front of Allah. No pride must come, no holier than thou attitude, I'm better than the other person. That should never ever come. Then we have made that ibadat. Then that is called abdiyat, that a person lowers and humbles himself in front of Allah Ta'ala. And then a person will become an abd, a slave of Allah. And that is the object, to become a slave of Allah. Then a person, and the minute a person does this, there are two things that what you call it. For example, you don't want your son to go to a cinema, to a gambling place, to a soccer match, anywhere. So one way is to stop him. Don't go there. It's bad. The other way is that you just give him some other work to do. You put him into something else. So automatic the other won't be done. So the simple way that pride don't come into a person, just become a slave. Then you don't have to worry also that pride mustn't come into me and all the harms of pride. Just become a slave. So to become a slave of Allah Ta'ala, that is also one of the objects of ibadat, that a person becomes a slave. Hazrat Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayh, brought the slave home. Then he asked the slave, what will you have to eat? The slave said, slave has got no choice. Whatever the master will give it to eat, it will eat. Where will you sleep? I got no choice. The slave has no choice. Wherever the master. Quite a few questions. What will you wear, etc. Then Hazrat Hassan Basri, rahmatullah alayh, set the slave free and gave him a handsome amount of money also, and told him, you have taught me how to be the slave of my Allah. That the slave must have no choice of his own. We are slaves, which the Quran Sharif says, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَٰهَهُ هَوَىٰ. Have you seen that person who has made his desires his God? You are the slave of your desires. And that is what we are all bogged down with. We are slaves of our thinking. We are slaves of our desires. Others are the slaves of their wives. Others are the slaves of their mothers. And the mothers tell them to do a lot of wrong things also against the wife. They are slaves of the mother. They do everything. We are slaves of all. We are not the owners of our business in most cases. We are the slaves, not only the workers, the slaves. The business dictates terms to us. We don't dictate terms to the business. The business is dictating terms to us. How many of us are the slaves of our sports? Are the slaves of our haram desires? So we have to become slaves of Allah Ta'ala. And if a person does ibadat, that is why the first command Allah has given in the Quran Sharif from Alif Lam Mim. The first command that comes is Ubudu Rabbakum. Make ibadat of Allah Ta'ala. That is, this abdiyat must come into a person. A person must become an abd, a slave of Allah Ta'ala. And the highest honor that a person, a human being can have is to be a slave of Allah. Totally, the more. And every namaz teaches us this, that what a person really feels, what I have achieved, what I have done, is with my brains. Hey, I've done this, the brains, my brains, I used my brains. That my brains are working. One person, he asked a friend, what have you got for lunch? It was a Christian, so he said he got pork. It was a Jew. So he said that very bad, pork is very bad, and all the harms and all the evil of pork he mentioned. Then the Christian asked him, what have you got for lunch? He said, I got fish. So he said that, won't you sell me a piece? So he said, okay, no problem. So he sold it for a shilling, whatever it was, a small piece. So he felt, but the deal wasn't right. So I asked how much you bought the whole fish, and he explained the virtues of fish, that the fish is good like this, makes your brains good, you think well, everything. So he told me, you got fish, give me a piece, he can't give you, he'll sell you. Sold it for a shilling, asked him, how much is the whole fish worth, how much you bought it for? So he said, for a shilling. The whole fish you bought for a shilling, one small piece you sold to me for a shilling. So he said, the brains are working. So this brains, what a person, he feels, I made all my money with my brains, that all, how much I did, etc. Lot of people, they have this, with my brains I did this. I understood. So in namaz, over and over in sajda, we are commanded to put your brains down on the ground. Hey, that you, but we don't make our namaz as a namaz. Our namaz is just like a computerized. We don't realize the value. If a person, every sajda, he says that, Ya Allah, my brains are nothing. They are putting them down in front of the ground. You are everything. Everything. You are the control, creator of my brains. You are the controller of my brains. What you put in my brains can come in my brain. My brains are not a god of their own. That day, many of us, we don't realize, but we are involved in various types of shirk. That we regard our brains like a bayan also. I prepare my bayan 2 hours before, the night before, whole night I do it. If we don't ascribe it to Allah, Allah is the doer. Whatever we do, whether it's your business, your dunya, whether you are top scientist, whatever you are, but the brains is the work, is in the Allah is the creator, Allah is the controller. And what Allah puts into that brains only comes into that brains. So that is that abdiyat must come into a person. Humility, humbleness. In the Hadith Sharif, Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man tawada'a lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. A person who makes tawadu. Tawadu is the opposite of pride. Humility, humbleness. A person who humbles himself, but the condition is lillah, for Allah's sake. Not that the world must say that he's a very humble person. For example, when people are around, then you do actions that you're putting a chair for somebody, you're doing this for somebody, you stand up, oh, what a humble person. But you are doing it so that people must say you are humble. Then nothing will happen. But a person who humbles himself, for Allah's sake. And this also comes from Man arafa rabba faqad arafa nafsa. A person who recognizes Allah, the greatness, the supremacy, the absolute power of Allah Ta'ala. A person who recognizes whenever Allah blesses you with something, like you made a lot of ibadah, you gave a good bayan, you read Quran Sharif very nicely, people praised you, you felt nice yourself also. And feeling yourself nice is not haram. That's a natural human feeling. But now to harbor it and to think, yes, I am the best. I am the people, I'm the hero. I'm everything. That is harmful. But just when people praise you, you feel nice, it's natural. Everywhere that's a human nature. And that you are not responsible. What you do yourself, that you are responsible for those actions. So whenever this you feel like that, then say to Allah Ta'ala, yeah, oh Allah, I'm just but a slave. I'm very abdiyat. I'm a slave. I have nothing. Tere uluhiyat. You are everything. Everything. This all what happened is by your fazl also. Nothing whatsoever. I'm a spoiler. I spoil things. Usually Allah give me the tawfiq when I quote my shaykh. I also say these are all my shaykh's words. But whatever there are shortcomings and misgivings, that is from my side. But the essence is from my share. So, oh Allah, you are everything. I'm a spoiler. Whatever there was which was not right, everything, that is from my side. The other, meri gandagi, aapki paaki. Oh Allah, I am filthy, I am dirty. You are pure, my Allah. Another thing, meri izzo in kisari, meri na ta'awanai, meri bandagi. Oh Allah, my humbleness, my limitations. I'm limited in everything. I'm completely, I'm nothing. I'm rock bottom. I'm the filth. I'm the dirt, oh Allah. Teri azmat, teri kibriyai, and your azmat, your greatness, oh Allah. You have said, you have declared, Allahu Akbar. And Allahu Akbar is ringing in the world, is in the airwaves throughout the world all the time. Allah is the greatest. So realize that. Then also say to Allah Ta'ala, meri gandagi, my baseness. What, that a person is base? Anyway, that I am the lower, I'm shrewd, I'm evil, I'm wrong, O Allah. Your tolerance, O Allah. Your covering of our faults, O Allah. Your purity, O Allah. You are everything. So a person must realize everything. So the person who makes tawadu lillah, rafa'ahu Allah. Allah raises that person. And when Allah gives honor to a person, Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri rahmatullah alayhi used to commonly say that mashhoor hona aur cheez hai, maqbool hona aur cheez hai. To be famous is something else, and to be, but they are totally rejected by Allah. People, nobody knows them. They are just an ordinary Mr. Nobody, but they are maqbool by Allah. They have got position by Allah Ta'ala. So that is so, and some people have to be maqbool and mashhoor. And some people, it's faras for them to make themselves mashhoor, famous also. Like the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. Haram for a Nabi to conceal himself. Allah gives him nabuwat, and he goes and sits in a cave and makes ibadat. It is haram for a Nabi. His duty is, and he must tell the people, Inni Rasulullahi ilaykum. Allah has sent me. He must announce and say that I am the Rasul of Allah. Allah has sent me to you. In the same way, for the ulama, their work also is to do the work of deen. For an alim to go and sit and make his ibadat on his own, he's not fulfilling. He's doing the work of an abid, but the work of an alim who Allah gave knowledge so that you spread the knowledge. Whether you're sitting in a classroom and you are teaching it, and in turn your students take it to the four corners of the world. They go to different places, become imams, and they guide the people. You are doing, you are conveying that message, though you are sitting in your one place. So it is the duty that so some people, they are maqbool also, and they have to be mashhoor also. They have to be famous also. And they have to inform. It is, for example, there are 5 to 7 people who understand for namaz, who are traveling, and you are alim in that group. And another non-alim goes forward. At that time, it's your duty to tell him, brother, I will make imamat. And if you're the alim, you're having a discussion and some masala, and so they're all giving their views, it's your duty to tell them, you pipe down, you keep quiet, I will tell you what is the masala. If you're the alim, not with haughtiness, not with pride, but the truth must be said. You can't let the falsehood go and you just keep quiet. Many people, we say we just keep quiet. And many ordinary people of us, we're not alims, but at a wedding, for example, social gatherings, wrongs are taking place. And you can say something, but you say, I thought not to cause trouble, I kept quiet. No, you must see that how, if you can say, approach the person who is in charge in a nice way, explain to him, ask somebody else to explain. It's our duty to keep quiet. If silence is gold, then to speak at such places, it is much, much more worth than gold also. So where it's necessary to speak, there we must not keep quiet. There, not go and make a big show and try and start breaking the things and making all wrong also, but in a suitable way. If you can't, then at least you make dua, and you get up and you leave from that place where there is haram carrying on. So where it's necessary to speak, to make yourself known, you have to do it. Whether you're an alim or a non-alim. And this keeping quiet, this being complacent with the situations where wrong is taking place, that is one of the major causes why evil is spreading everywhere. Because the people who know what is the wrong, in the house you don't speak what is wrong. At work you don't speak what is wrong. You dislike it, you become part and parcel of it. So a person, a mu'min, it is his duty, and that is what is called amar bil ma'ruf. Tabligh is something else. Nasihat is something else. Amar bil ma'ruf is one particular shoba department of Islam. It's a special department. Just like tazkiyah, it's a special department of its own. So this is very necessary. So this is not pride at such places. A person misinterprets and calls that he's so proud, he says, I'm an alim. It's his duty. If it's a doctor, on the aeroplane, if there's an emergency and they announce for a doctor, doctor gets up to give his service, oh, what a proud man. That he's showing everyone he's a doctor. Walking right from the back of the plane to the front, and I'm no, it's his farz that time. That he stands up and he goes and gives, renders his assistance and renders his services at that time. It's a farz of him at that time. So where it's necessary, for a Nabi, it will be haram for him to just sit quiet one place. And Allah says over and over, every Nabi came, Inni Rasulullahi ilaykum musaddiqan lima bayna yadayya. All the Anbiya came and they announced and they said on the top of their voices, I'm Allah's Rasul. So where it's necessary, it has to be said. So this tawadu, that also we must understand, which comes in the Hadith Sharif, that what is tawadu? The definition of tawadu, batrul haq wa ghamtun nas. The truth, you don't accept it. When people tell you something, what is the right thing? No matter who you are, a person comes and he tells you and it must be said also in a polite way, in a nice way. Don't be rude, don't be harsh. When we do all these things, we must be firm, we must be solid, but we must not be rude and harsh. In that, Allah reward our ulama, what a beautiful example they gave of silk. Silk is so enjoyable to handle. For man to wear silk is haram. But you handle silk, you enjoy it. It is so nice. But it is so strong that it is two elephants have to pull at it, they can't tear it apart. Bulletproof vests are made with silk. A bullet can't penetrate silk also. There are different types of silk. Special type where bullets also don't penetrate silk also. But yet it is so nice to handle. So when you say the truth, say it in such a way that the people enjoy it also. Baat ki baat or laat ki laat. You kick a person, but he's happy also that you kick me. And this particular quality I saw in our Shaykh Hazrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Adamullahu Yu Rahimahumullah. Otherwise, like for example, Hazrat should speak on the beard and have everyone laughing. Otherwise, when you speak on the beard, people get offended. They're not happy at all. They get very offended you spoke on the beard. Especially those who don't have beards, whose beards are not right. They get very offended. And what people say, as though the Maulvis think that the whole of Islam is only on the beard. The whole of Islam is not in the beard, we admit. But definitely Islam is in the beard. Beard is in Islam. The whole of Islam is not in the beard. But the beard, proper sunnah beard, is definitely in Islam. But Hazrat speaks of it such a way that he has everyone laughing. And they accept it wholeheartedly. One time in Medina Park, Hazrat told me to make bayan in Hazrat's majlis. So I spoke on the beard. Hazrat told me to speak on the beard and that. After that, one close associate of Hazrat, whose beard was an Arab beard, that means it covers the area properly, but the length is not sufficient. So Hazrat told me, and a very prominent person, very prominent person. Then Hazrat sent me and told me, go and tell him now, you heard the details of the proper sunnah beard, you must keep this beard. So Hazrat should say it very properly. And various other times also we saw that how Hazrat, the rights of wives, Hazrat said, I hope from Allah, Allah will make my maghfirat because I took the part of the weak people, the wives, whose rights are being trampled so much in the world, I take their part. And a person, when he has to be told that you are not fulfilling the rights of your wife, of anyone, person gets offended. But Hazrat says it such a way that everyone is laughing. He accepts it in a happy way. So this is, so the truth must be said, but say it also in the right way. Don't cause more problems. There was one problem, you and then make 10 more problems. And not only for yourself, now the whole ulama fraternity, they say this all mufti maulanas are like this, and the maulvis are like that. Because you went and say something, and also you must say the right thing in the right way. Don't say the right thing in the wrong way. That is also very important. The wrong thing you must never say. But the right thing also, don't say it in the wrong way. you offend a person. You want to tell your wife, get rid of the TV. But put it in such a way that she is happy about it also. And she looks forward. Inshallah, I hope we do discuss that. A few brothers have asked, and it's important for all of us. The TV is a great lanat curse of Allah. It is, we have planted the enemy in our house. A person is worried if my office, my house is not bugged. Hey, you have put the biggest bug in there. And it's bugging you, the TV. Controlling your mind, controlling your life, controlling your thinking. It's the one of the worst things which we have done. And many, many good people also is there. Those who have realized. And mashallah, some people have got rid of it in such a way. They themselves. One lady in Azadville some time ago, Allah gave understanding. And she brought the TV in a public place. And her people offered to buy. She said, what destroyed my life? I don't want it to destroy other people's life. And in a public place, she was the first person to throw a big stone at it. And called all to throw stones on it. Her DVDs or whatever it was, all were collected. We were having a family program. She's not of our family. But she also came. And with all that, some of the good, like pious people, they were like crying tears that these Hindi films and they are going to be burnt up. They said, it's why burn it? Give it to me. I'll go and watch it and all that. All these things here. But she was adamant to put paraffin on it, put petrol on it and burn it in front of everyone. So Allah, a person who couldn't stay without TV, Allah brings this also. So this is what we have to work for. Inshallah, Allah give tawfiq. There aren't many sessions left, but we have to discuss that also. But anyway, so to a person who chooses tawadu, lillah, rafa'ahum, Allah will give him. And who Allah makes high, nobody can interfere with that person. The people, if they want to, they want to try and show disrespect, they want to humiliate, they want to insult him, they want to bring him down, they will find they are hitting their heads on a solid wall. And they themselves are breaking their heads. They can't bring whom Allah puts high, nobody can, they can't touch a hair of that person, whom Allah, and who wants to become high himself. And he makes the effort, he dresses like that, he talks like that, flashy motor cars, mansions he lives in, want to make, I'm a big person. Every day we see in the newspapers, the person who was a top minister, now he's being handcuffed and next he's behind bars. There is a daily thing in the world, that the people who want to become big themselves, وَمَن تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهُ Allah drops those people. If you are your niyat, my bayan, I must get popularity, I must get name, fame, people must praise me, I'm the big sheikh, I'm a big alim, big mufti. If you want to, if that is your niyat, Allah will drop you. But if you do it with humility, the sincerity also has to be there. But with humility, Allah will raise you. And this lillah, it must be for Allah. To understand that, one hadith comes, a person who keeps quiet for 40 days, for Allah's pleasure, Allah will make the fountains or the springs of wisdom to ooze from his heart, from his breast. Words of wisdom will only come out. Such words like our akabir, our buzurg's words, everyone wants to write them down, malfuzat. And they are worth to be written in gold. And not to be put on the wall, but with gold to be written on the heart to make amal. Where does words come out from these people? They hardly saw the door of a school. Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanwi Rahmatullah Ali, Allahu Akbar, no schooling whatsoever. But the top lawyers and barristers, they should tell him, you wasted your time, you should become a lawyer. He says, I'm the top lawyer. What is this dunya's law and all this big barristers and that? What is the law of Sharia? And to understand it with the examples, Maulana. One striking thing of Maulana, what knowledge here, but with simple examples, the world accepted. And so much so that a lady, what's her name? She, of the 100 top men of the world presently, she put Maulana, a non-Muslim lady, of the whole world, Maulana Thanvi's name right on top. A non-Muslim, she had given this position to Maulana. We know Maulana doesn't need her position or anything. What Allah had. So this is that a person who adopts, and by ibadat, It's supposed to bring abdiyat, tawazu in a person. And when a person has got this abdiyat, that person will rise. So that person, 40 days, one person kept quiet. He didn't speak, but nothing happened. No words of wisdom came. So he asked the ustad, the alim, the shaykh who said this hadith, that I kept 40, for 40 days I kept quiet, but no words of wisdom. He said, why you kept quiet? He said, to speak the words of wisdom. He said, the hadith said, lillah, for Allah's pleasure. Not that the words of wisdom come on your tongue. So all this year we have to do lillah, ikhlas also. Tawadu also, lillah. It must be for Allah Ta'ala. Then Allah Ta'ala raises that person. So ibadat is supposed to bring. And this will come when we make niyat at the beginning. And that, oh Allah, it's your command. I don't understand anything. I know it's just your command. Like a father who tells his son, on a Sunday morning, when buy the Sunday Times for me. And don't read the Sunday Times. Because whoever reads it starts from the back page. They don't start from the front page. And they, Afrikaans, you call it the Quran. And the Quran, you start from the right side. So they also think that you have to read it from the right side. From the right side. So anyway, the father sends the son. And it's a cold, miserable day, raining. The son doesn't want to go. He's making all types of excuses. The father tells him, take the car key. Now he's go to the furthest cafe to go and buy. Not the nearest, he'll go wherever because he's got the car key, the car in his hand. But now he didn't do it for his father's sake. He did it for the key's sake. He got a chance to drive. And now he's enjoying driving and going everywhere. So what we have to do is for Allah. So, and you do it for Allah. And if that son that my father sent me, I'll go. I haven't got shoes also. It's cold also. It's raining. But my father told me I'm going. How happy one. Allah's happiness. Allah is na'm al-qadirin. Of all who can appreciate, there is nobody who appreciates like Allah. And for Allah, there is no question that Allah must appreciate. What can we do for Allah that Allah must appreciate? But we should learn from Allah, تَخَلَّقُوا بِأَخْلَاقِ اللَّهِ. How much Allah appreciates. Allah is Shakur, one of His names. And the meaning of Shakur, الَّذِي يُعْطِي الْأَجْرَ الْجَزِيلَ عَلَى الْعَمَلِ الْقَلِيلِ. Who gives a huge reward on a small amal. For what must Allah make shukr? If somebody does me a favor, I thank him. If I did you a favor, and I tell you that what call it, you did me a favor, and I tell you thank me. Allah is the only one who does favors. What favor? Our ibadat, what favor we did. But that also what Allah stoffing. What the head Allah gave, what the tongue Allah gave, everything. And we still spoiling it so much, but Allah appreciates. How much Allah Ta'ala. So more than what a father, anyone can appreciate, Allah appreciates them. And so much Allah Ta'ala appreciates that a small little amal and Allah gives so much. So this is that tawadu and ibadat will bring this into us. In all, how to gain it, the method of gaining it, one great, great wazifa that we have been taught, and each one of us should say this, which Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali taught, our Shaykh also prescribed it, that at least once a day say to yourself that hal mein, presently, tamam musalmano mein, amongst all the Muslims, then you take your name, address, speak to yourself, Abdul Hamid tu sabse battar aur kamtar hai. You are the worst and the lowest of all the Muslims presently. And how is this? For example, one person is a drunkard, he's a womanizer, gambler, everything what you can think of evil. You are making five times namaz, you are keeping rozas, you are outwardly sunnat, you got lot of inward sunnats also. How can you think yourself lower as that person? In this way, that there may be one quality in you which Allah dislikes. Some habit of yours that Allah Ta'ala dislikes. And that person might be all that evil, and he might be having one quality which Allah likes. And therefore he is a beloved of Allah. So we don't know. So on that basis, for Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi has written this instance, that in one village a person passed away, and he was the worst person. There wasn't any good in his life whatsoever. Or gambling, humanizing, everything, drinking, drunkard. He should come home late at night, drunk. He passed away. So it was because of his condition, no neighbors came to the funeral. No friends came, no town people came, nobody came for it. 3 days had passed and his body is lying. So the wife hired 4 laborers, paid them money and told them, take his body now, his body is going to blow up, diseases will spread, take his body and go and wash it, give it a bath as you people know. Put kafan in any way as you know, take him to the qabristan. If there is somebody to make janazah, well and good. If not, bury him without janazah namaz. I can't keep his body now. At that time, they did all this, they took his body. Allah made ilham, put in the heart of the great wali and buzurg of that area, that my wali has passed away. And you go and make his janazah namaz. So when he got up to go, everyone followed. Everyone, because big buzurg, big sheikh. So when they came there, oh ho, is this man? Yeah. And they knew him. But Allah's command. So they made the janazah, they buried him, everything, janazah namaz, went straight to his wife's house. And asked her, what kind of a man was your husband? We taught him to be all the most worst and filthiest. She said, he was, as you people say. I also knew him like that. However, he had 2 habits in him, which nobody knew about, which also showed his sincerity. One is, he always kept an orphan child in the house. And before he would eat, the child must eat. Before he buys clothes for himself or anyone, the child's clothes must be bought for. Always looked after the orphan child. So Allah loved that. The other is, he would come home late at night, 12, 1, 2 o'clock. One person was returning home 2 o'clock in the morning. Police stopped him, where are you going? He said, I'm going for a bayan. Bayan now? 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock. Yeah, when I go home, what a lecture I'm going to get. That what, from where are you coming now, 2 o'clock in the morning? So you should come home late like this, 2 o'clock, 1 o'clock. But early hours of the morning, he used to get up, take a bath in cold water, become sober, and then cry to Allah, Ya Allah, which corner of Jahannam you have kept reserved for me? I'm the worst of all. I deserve your most punishment. Making tawbah, istighfar. He was Allah's wali. Outwardly, one time, that is, and there are many people like that. In Hazardville, there were few people. 1 or 2 cases or 3 cases. Outwardly, if you see the person like a tramp, you don't want to go near him, the smell you get, etc. But Maud, they got so mubarak. One person in KwaZulu-Natal, in one town, used to run a brothel shabin. Ramzan should come, close it. He shouldn't keep roza himself. Nothing, but brothel is closed, the shabin is closed. And all his patrons, non-Muslims. And then they should beg him that we don't keep roza, we not Muslims, we want to drink, we want all our filthy, dirty life. He said, no, you should respect Ramzan. His maud came, 27th night of Ramzan. So we don't know which quality which person has got. And sometimes it's just a thought, a feeling, a person. Allah loves that. And we, perhaps with all our ibadat, it brought pride in us. Perhaps we went into ghulu, excessiveness. We didn't fulfill the wife's rights. So, no, I have to make my tahajjud. You sick, you sort yourself out. You didn't even give a comforting word or anything. Now, Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, for example, a person thinks that now old age has come, retired from everything in dunya, now I'll get up tahajjud time and make ibadat right through till ishraq, charge time, take a little rest, then qaylula, then from asr till isha I will make ibadat again. In the process, the husband or the wife becomes paralyzed. Allah save us all. Now Hazrat says, all your tahajjud and all your nafil ibadat and all your tilawat is to make khidmat of that person. What you're going to get, yeah, you won't get in all the tahajjud and your nafil. But how many of us, the excessiveness, we are in ibadat, but we are excessiveness. We don't worry of the wife's rights. We don't worry of the children's ta'aleem, education, to bring them up. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali has written so much that if your children are still small, don't even travel out of the country. Worry about your children's education, and because the children left to the mother, they become bold and they become courageous, and the mother can't control them. It's only the father's dark. That's why Allah has kept the father. Just like we got Raiwind and we got Nizamuddin. He's a Raiwind like the father, hard, strong. Nizamuddin like the mother, soft. We got Makkah and we got Medina. Makkah Sharif, the awe of Allah. Medina, the kindness and the compassion of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The father and mother both are required. A single parent cannot handle the children. So that is very, very important. So, so always that say this to yourself. Presently, in all the people, I'm the lowest, I'm the weakest. We don't know which weakness we have got. We are making ibadat, but we got ghulu in our ibadat. Though everything is right, but we are doing it in the wrong way. For example, you are making ibadat, namaz, and you see somebody is going to fall in a well. And you say, I'm like now we read, if your parents call you making nafil namaz, then even if it's not an urgent call, but you said, no, I'm going to carry on. And the story in the Quran Sharif, who is that? Who carried on with his namaz? Juraij. And his mother called him. His mother then said, may you see the face of a evil woman, a prostitute. And then it happened in the evidence that was laid. And then he never raised his eyes to see a woman. Right? But then they accused him of that illegitimate child that he's the father. And then that woman came to give it. Allah cleared his name completely, but he had to see her face. So this year, so we think I'm making ibadat, but we are breaking the laws of Allah Ta'ala. So we don't know, so never think I'm more pious than the other person. Who of us, our istinja, we know we are 100% sure. Perhaps we're making so much ibadat, our istinja is not right. And the other person, perhaps he made no ibadat, so we by making wrong, our istinja is not right. Our ikhlas is not right. Our ibadat is gone in minus. The person who didn't make ibadat, he is not in minus, he is just in zero. We are gone in minus. How many of our things we don't know like that? So never ever think we are. A wise person cannot. Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri Rahmatullah Ali say, only a stupid person, a total stupid, he can have pride in him. A person who's got a little bit of intelligence can never ever have pride in him. He'll know the reality. And so presently, or ma'al ke etibar se, as far as mort is concerned, then say to yourself, tamam kafiro or janwaro mein, amongst all the non-believers and all the animals, then take your name Abdul Hamid to sabse bura hai. You are the worst of all animals also and all kafirs also. How is this? That the animals, there will be only revenge that they will take from one another, Allah will make them take. They will be turned to sand, no Jahannam for them. And the kafir, we don't know how many people are dying on iman. They live their lives like kafirs. Last minute, it comes in the hadith, that person who last minute, he reads kalima, he goes straight to Jannah. Shaykh al-Hind rahmatullah Ali in Deoband saw a Hindu that he knew in Deoband, and he saw him in Jannah in his dream. In his dream, he told him, Lalaji, this is no entry for you. Mamnu' al-Dukhul, where you entered Jannah. No entry for you here. He said, Mullaji, that just before I die, maine ankahat kehdi. What was taboo for me to say? What was haram for me to say? As a Hindu, la ilaha illallah, I told it before I died. And whether for a non-Muslim, all his past sins are forgiven. He's gone straight to Jannah. And don't think that they are in a better position than the person who whole life made ibadah. And they last minute just read kalima, they gone to Jannah. They only got Jannah. All the enjoyments of Jannah is because of amal. They didn't do all the amal. They entered Jannah. What a thing. But those who are making namaz, persevering, or you're feeling a bit hungry, you get angry, you control your anger, you see a woman, you don't look, you're keeping your eyes down. All that sawab, what the mu'min is going to get, you can't imagine. So anyway, we don't know whose position is what by Allah Ta'ala. Even, it wasn't, maybe about 8-10 years ago, we were in Delhi, by Appa's family people, and he's an inspector in the post office. He got a top position, and his interaction is with Hindus all the time. And he told us that, I can assure you, the majority of the Hindus, they have realized Hinduism is no religion. And the truthful of Islam has entered their hearts. But they can't say that they are Muslims because of the society, the government, etc. Then we went to Iran. There we had the first night a program with the ulama, and one person was nodding his head like accepting and enjoying the bayan. After that, Vietti asked, who is this? They said he was a Shia who became a Muslim. So I was surprised. They said, nothing to be surprised. Plenty Shias, daily occurrence, they are becoming Muslims. They are realizing the truth. We returned home. It was near Bakri'id time. At my brother-in-law's place in Rudipot, Maulana Imran Budania, the whole family was gathered. Maulana told me about 8-10 years ago that a few Hindus who had passed away in Rudipot in Azadwal, before they passed away, they told their families, we have accepted Islam long ago. When we die, give us Muslim burial, kafan, dafan, and bury us in a Muslim qabristan. So we don't know how many people are dying as Muslim, and who gave us guarantee that we are going to die as a Muslim. Eh? And that is one fear that should really just finish a person. I don't know how my mort is going to come. Yeah, I'm living, I'm everything carrying on, but if my mort, khuda na khasta, have to come on disbelief, on kufr, what will be my qabr? How I'm going to, what is going to happen? What will happen to me in my, on Qiyamah's day, in Jahannam? So that fear will never allow a person to ever, pride can come into him. And also, take your own name. This I usually prescribe. One friend came and he said, regularly I'm doing my mamulats. Every day I say, presently amongst all the Muslims, Abdul Hamid, you are the worst. And amongst all the non-believers and the kafir and the animals, Abdul Hamid, you are the worst. So I told him, Dabbo, you have to take your own name. You're taking my name. Everyone must take his own name. So some of our friends also, when they listen also, how they listen. So anyway, so a person who will say this, a pride won't come into him. So make it a practice daily to say yourself, to yourself this year. And also another, Allama Sayyid Sulaiman Nadwi Rahmatullah Ali's words, also repeat this daily. If you learn the Urdu, much more better. How do I say it in English also? He said, Aham aise rahe, ya ke waise rahe, wahan dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. No matter how we lived here in this world, the world praised us. The world criticized us. That has got no reference to us. How are we going to be on Qiyamah's Day? That is going to be reference to us. That will be our reference, how we are on the day of Qiyamah. So yeah, you can bluff people. And some people can bluff all the people, perhaps all the time also. Some people can do that also. But Qiyamah's Day, وَحُسِّلَ مَا فِي الصُّدُورِ وَتُبْلَ السَّرَائِرِ, all the secrets will just come out. And everything, the reality will come out there. The truth will be taken out from the heart. And the black box, make it a white box. Our heart, there, everything is stored there in the black box. And every time anything happens to aeroplane, they want to check the black box. This black box will be also checked. And everything, what nobody else knows, is stored in the black box there. And by making effort, we can make our black box a white box. And if we made it a white box, and the heart we made it white, full of nur, what haven't we? So this is very important, that this humbleness must come into us. And ibadat must bring this. So we shouldn't go with this proud attitude from here, that we go home and we start boasting, etc. Or we start, some people won't boast. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, a Sufi, a Maulvi, Alim, etc., when he goes home and he has got pride in him, then he enters the house, his eyes are closed, and a big tasbih he's got, Subhanallah, Subhanallah, like I'm a big buzurk, I'm entering. Now they say, that's not the time for your Subhanallah and your tasbih, that you do tahajjud time. Now when you enter, cheerfully make salam to the wife. And she also answers cheerfully, you smile. And Hazrat says, if there are no children around, hug her, kiss her also. If there are children, don't do it. They think, what's my parents? They fighting or what they doing here? They won't understand. So if there are no children around, hug her, kiss her also. And then, and a dunya person, when he comes home and he hasn't got reality in him, then he rubs his eyes before time, makes them red. And he comes in, I had a very bad day in the office, at work today, in the shop, please, I don't want, nobody must come to me. Goes to his room, don't let the children also come near me. And you act in a wild way, that's not the way to enter the house. Enter the house, cheerfully making salam, and greeting, and bring something for your wife. Take a rose, take a chocolate, get a chocolate before we go home. Get a rose and you go and give it to your wife. And she also receives you neat and tidy, And if she dolls herself up also for you, what to say? Once I gave this bayan in one place, and one person perhaps I think in my life who made immediate amal on my what I told. The wife did this, she dolled herself up, and with a glass of, it was summer, some milkshake or something, she was waiting for her husband. When he came, he got a shock of his life. This never happened in 40 years of marriage. And what is this now? So she said, you just drink it. He was very, very reluctant. You put poison in there, or you put make jadu in there, what is it? Then she explained, one Maulvi came and he said that you must do entertain your husband and receive him like this. So at night he met me, he told me this happened. After 6 months I happened to go there again. He said, Mali Sahab, I think you'll have to repeat the bayan. Only that one day she made amal. Which we all also got a problem that in Ramzan we are doing things, after Ramzan finish, everything is dropped off. So anyway, so in this way, that humility, humbleness, and a person can never have trust on his amal. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam declared it openly, and the height of wisdom in the world was with Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that nobody's amal will enter into Jannah. That you think, I made this amal, I made that amal. One friend of ours wrote a kitab on the seerat of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He asked me, how should I go to Rozai Mubarak and present it to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? I say, what you have to do is make tawbah istighfar in tahajjud. What can we praise Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What khidmat? How can we say, I served you? What is ours? How many perhaps wrong words like the word prophet we perhaps have used? And we thinking we have, many times we want to praise somebody, but we are actually insulting the person. We don't realize. So where can we make Allah's ibadah? It's our duty. We try whatever, but we can never trust our amal. That I do this, I do that. So much so that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked, not even you, O Allah's Rasul, you'll enter Jannah. He said, not even me. إِلَّا أَيَّتَغَمَّدَنِي رَبِّي بِرَحْمَتِهِ أو كما قال عليه. That Allah Ta'ala's rahmat overshadows me, then I can enter Jannah. So we can't trust anything, so there is no question of any. And all our ibadat, especially the roza, which is a big task. It's not easy to keep rozas, but it's also Allah's good. Don't think we kept this four-year boy children keeping rozas. 3-year children, 5-year keeping whole month. It's Allah who instills that. And ask the woman who have to miss their rozas in Ramzan, one roza out of Ramzan. What a mujahada it is. Allah makes it easy. That's why it's not our achievement. Half is a Quran, Allah declared, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ. We make the Quran easy for remembrance. It's not the Hafiz. And the Hafiz who thinks, I protect the Hafiz, he's misguided. The Quran is protecting him. He's not, who can protect the Quran? That's only Allah Ta'ala. So we're in everything, really, a wise person who got 0.00001% of intelligence, he'll never have pride in him. And from there we can understand that how stupid we are when a person, and the proof of our pride is the anger that we have. Yeah, we are all buzurgs. If going down, you go. But at home with the wife, where's this? I came after so long and you haven't got this for me. Then our anger shows out. And that is the thermometer of our pride. How much pride we have got. Yeah, we are all very, very sweet. And you can't imagine this person has got anger. But when you ask if you have to speak to the family, then you see a different story. So that is the of course, that anger which is for Allah's sake, that is in order. But Hazrat Shaykh has cautioned us also, to say it's for Allah's sake is easy. But actually it's also your nafs, and you justify it, you put deen in front. That because the deen, the person not making namaz, that, but actually you got another grudge against the person. So the safest thing, that we have humbleness. And we all our ibadat, and our the sign of acceptance of ibadat, that we made ibadat, not even acceptance, just that we made ibadat, it will bring abdiyat into it. And if we didn't make ibadat, we thought we making ibadat, we'll become like Fir'aun. We'll become like a big, like Hitler, and like big oppressors we will become. But when we make ibadat will bring tilawat will bring humility, zikr will bring humility, namaz will bring, roza will bring humility, hajj will bring humility. So this is absolutely essential that we, one place, we were in Mauritius, not long ago, And about 4 years ago, and one Haji Sahib, I took a liking to him, and we were sitting and eating together after the program, everything. He told me, I made 51 Hajj. He just said that, and one person called him and said, Chacha, uncle. So he said, not Chacha, Haji Sahib. Eh? There are 51 Hajj I made, and I'm still not a Haji, I'm still just a Chacha. Eh? In one word, you can, Allah knows, Allah says, your 51 Hajj is gone down the drain. That all must call me Haji Sahib. Eh? That we one day, so a person must be turned to Allah. So our Hajj also, if it brings humbleness, then that is Hajj. We go walking Hajj today, mashallah, Mubarak, very good. But if that walking Hajj is bringing pride, and we say the others who they go by car, I'm an old man, I still go walking. I got sickness, but these other people just say, all go by car. If you got pride in you, what have you achieved? Nothing whatsoever. So Allah Ta'ala will save us from all that. So all these qualities of our rozas, with all these things, are absolutely essential. May Allah bless us with it. And a humble person is loved by everyone. And a proud person, everyone dislikes him. Perhaps outwardly, by force, you have to show respect and muhabbat. But in your heart, a person has hatred for a proud person. And pride is the mental of Allah. That means only Allah is worthy of having pride. Because Allah has got those qualities. And whatever we have got is borrowed. Is Allah gave it to us on lease. Or Allah gave it, rented it to us for a little while. Not even rent, just gave it to us to use. Everything, our ibadat, our saying subhanallah, la ilaha illallah, is by the tawfiq of Allah. It's not ours. It's all Allah's. So we must ascribe it to Allah Ta'ala. May Allah give us tawfiq and guide us.